Amen. Thank you, ladies. That was a blessing. Amen. Hey, grab your Bibles and turn them to Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, all the way to the end there, almost to the end. Chapter 47. Ezekiel's right before Daniel. It will be Ezekiel chapter number 47. Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm going to talk to you today about the river of life. The river of life here in Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm going to read the first six verses here. Ezekiel chapter 47. Start here verses 1, going down 1 through 6. Ezekiel 47. Here we go. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. You can underline ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. You can underline knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. You can underline loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. I'm going to talk to you today about the river of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are just grateful to be in your house here today. Grateful to have the opportunity to open your word. And Lord, I do pray now that you fill me with your spirit. I pray, Lord, you use me here today to speak the truth from your word here today. And Lord, I pray you do what only you can do, and that's to speak to the hearts of those that are here today. Lord, I pray you, hey, maybe there's somebody here or over the internet that needs to be born again. Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation. Lord, I pray now you just meet with us here in a special way. We'll give you the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now imagine standing at the entrance to God's holy temple, watching as a mysterious river begins to flow, not with a trickle, but with a supernatural current that grows deeper and stronger the further it goes. This is no ordinary river. It flows from the very presence of God, and it brings life to everywhere there was death. Here in Ezekiel chapter 47, the prophet is shown a vision of revival and what happens when the Spirit of God is allowed to flow freely. That river here begins at the altar, and it moves outward into the dry places, and it transforms even the Dead Sea into living water. It's a picture of what God wants to do in you and I here today. He wants to take us deeper. He wants us to go past the ankle-deep water, past the knee-deep, the waist-deep water, and plunge us into a Spirit-filled, Christ-centered life that, hey, where we don't just exist, we thrive. So the question here today is, how far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? Will you stand on the banks, or will you step in the water and swim? Reminds me, there's a story told by a missionary who served in Africa about a man who owned a small piece of land, and it was a very dry area, but every year he worked hard and he planted his crops, and he prayed for rain every year, but every year there was just barely enough to get by. Year after year, he struggled to survive. And one day, in desperation, he's ready to throw the towel in. He's considering selling the land and giving up. But just before making that decision, a missionary friend encourages him to bring in a specialist to search for water. The farmer laughs at him, laughs it off, and said, hey, This ground is too dry. Nothing's ever come out of it but dust and disappointment. Still, the missionary insisted, and they brought in a team, and they drilled into the farmer's astonishment. Just beneath the surface, hidden for years, was a deep underground river. Fresh, constant, abundant, life-giving water. So as you can imagine, the crops thrived and the trees grew, and neighbors came from miles around just to draw from the water in that well. That river was always there. He just never tapped into it. And so I wonder here today, how many of us are like that man? Oh, we're spiritually dry. We're spiritually tired. Well, we're surviving, but we're not thriving. We are just barely getting by. But all along, just beneath the surface, God has a river of living water waiting to burst forth in your life if you'll only dig. If you'll only go deeper. If you'll only step out on faith. Just take that step of faith. So what am I saying? I'm saying it's time for us to go deeper. It's time for revival. The revival starts here within us, but it starts right here today. And it starts with number one, life begins with Jesus Christ. I want you to see here, life begins with Jesus Christ. Look there in verse number one. He says, afterward, he brought me again onto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. I want you to notice a couple things there. You notice that word again? Underline that word again. Hey, aren't you glad that God is a God of second chances? Aren't you glad that God is a God of agains? In Jonah chapter 3 and verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God doesn't just forget about us. He doesn't just pass us by. Hey, God does not give up on us again. He comes unto us again. And it says here that he brought me again onto the door. You know what the door is? The door is Jesus Christ. Life starts with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Not might be saved, not possibly saved. He will be saved. He shall be saved. What does that mean? It means that real life does not begin when you're born into this world. Real life begins with the new birth that Jesus talks about in John chapter 3 of being born again. In John chapter 3, verse number 3, Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, you must have a new birth to get to heaven. We've all been born physically here, but you got to have a new birth. You must be born again. What does that mean? It means being born from above, being born of God. There are many people in this world, maybe even some here today, who are living, but you're not alive. They breathe, they walk, they eat, they work, but they are spiritually dead according to God's Word. They exist, but not truly living. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. You see, that's the grace of God. The grace of God has all brought us to that door. Every single person, the grace of God has brought you to the door of Jesus Christ. And from that moment, the choice is yours. You must make the right choice. You see, there's many false choices out there in this world. There's many false religions. There's many false ways to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is it. He is the only way to get to heaven. He is the only way to have life. You must come to the door of Jesus Christ to get life. You see, without Him, there is no life. Life begins with Jesus Christ. That very moment you believe on Him, that very moment you enter in through that door, you have eternal life. Now that Holy Spirit's involved in that. That Holy Spirit is involved in bringing us to the door. We cannot find the door on our own. No one is looking for God when He found us. Why? Because the Bible says we are dead. Ephesians 2:1. And you at the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says that's the problem. We are not just sick sin. We are dead in sin. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. What I earn because of my sin is death. Hey, God doesn't owe me a happy life. God doesn't owe me all these blessings. He doesn't owe me a big house on the lake somewhere with a fancy truck and a big boat and all those things and even good health. No, God says the only thing that you deserve is death. And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. You see, without Christ, there is no life. There is only death, only separation from God. But you know what? This God that we serve, He's a God of love. You see, His holiness is what the just reward for our sin and being death. But His love brings about a whole other character. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life begins that moment you come through the door. That moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says, He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life. Let me just ask you, how long does everlasting life last? How long does eternal life last? It's forever, my friend. It is eternal. Eternal. And we're not just talking about the quantity of life. We're talking about the quality. The quality of life. It's Jesus in you. It's God's life in you. Eternal life means that we never die spiritually. In John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hey, do you want to live or do you want to die? Jesus is the way to life. You reject Jesus and that's the way to death. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's no in between, my friend. There's no in between. But here's the promise. Here's one. There's so many promises in the Word of God, but here's another promise. You see, death for the believer is not the end. Death for the believer is not the end. It's just another doorway that we go through, another doorway to get to glory, another doorway to get to see Jesus. Pastor, you know, I'm so burdened and sad that my loved one has gone or my friend has gone. Hey, if they're saved, hey, they went through the door of glory. They got to see Jesus. They're walking along in heaven and they're walking and seeing all the sights in heaven. Amen. That is the glorious promise that we have. Philippians 1:21, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. You get that? To die is gain. Hey, Lord, if it's your will for me to continue here, I'll press on and I'll do your will, whatever the cost is. Oh, but glory is awaiting. Oh, but to die is to gain, to go to be with Jesus. Ah, to go to heaven. Oh, that is gain. D.L. Moody said this. He said when he was about to die, he said, soon you'll read about D.L. Moody in the newspaper that he's died. But don't you believe it for a minute. At that moment, I shall be more alive than ever before. And you know what's interesting as well about this door that we're talking about? What's interesting about this door is when we go through this door, we get eternal life. We receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Jesus kind of reaches behind us and He kind of locks that door. He kind of locks that door. Now, that door being locked it still allows people to come in, but it doesn't allow me to go back. Eternal salvation. Eternal security. I cannot go back. I could never be lost again if I wanted to. Hey, that is another promise of the believer. I don't have to worry about being on the other side ever again. I can never be lost. You can call it security of the believer. You can call it once saved, always saved. But Jesus calls it eternal life. Jesus calls it never perish. In John chapter 10, in verses 27 to 30, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, you want to talk about eternal security of the believer. You want to talk about eternal salvation. You want to talk about the promise of never perishing. It's in the book. It's right there. The promise that I don't have to worry about being born again and being reborn again and getting lost and all the false theological things that are out there in that mess. Hey, Jesus gives eternal life to all those that freely come to Him. Now you notice here in our text in verse 1, it says, "And the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar." We see here the waters came from the door, meaning there were no other streams. There were no other tributaries, meaning Christ is sufficient. Christ is all in salvation. It is a picture of the cross of Jesus Christ. Nothing needs to be added to it. Jesus plus nothing, Jesus minus nothing. The cross is the altar, and the blood of Jesus Christ is the offering. In Matthew 26, verse 28, the Bible says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." You see, without the blood, there's no forgiveness. Without the blood, there's no salvation. Revelation 1, 5 says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." You see, it's all about the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood cleanseth us from all sin. All I can say is praise the Lord. Praise God that Jesus went to the cross for our sins. He shed His blood and He died on that cross, and they buried Him and He rose again. Why? So we could have eternal life. So we could never perish. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Hey, you having revival in your life? Are you living the victorious Christian life? Are you living the abundant life? It all starts with Jesus Christ. You got to come to the cross. Without the cross, there's no river. Without Jesus, there's no life. You got to come to the door. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Life begins with Jesus Christ. Hey, number two, we're moving on here. Number two, once I have life, number two, life must be lived in Jesus Christ alone. My life must be lived in Him alone. Look there in verse 2, He says, "Then brought He me." Verse 3 says, "He brought me." Verse 4 says again, "He brought me." Once we have life, our life must be lived in Jesus Christ alone. Meaning we are to live for Him. Galatians 2:20 puts it exactly what it's to look like. I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. Get that. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. My life is not about me. It's not about my wants. It's not about my wishes. It's not about my desires. It's not about where I want to go, what I want to do. I am crucified with Christ, yet I live what you see here today. I live in Jesus Christ. He died on that cross for me. Is there anything else to do but live for Him in everything? In everything. We see here that Ezekiel got in the river at the door. He walked down the stream and he never got out of the water. The river got deeper and deeper. It got bigger and bigger. And it reminds me of Psalm 23, right? Psalm 23. In verses 1 and 2, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Jesus is still leading us. My life must be lived in Him. We must grow as Christians. We must become more and more like Christ. We must trust Him in all that we do. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path."
He shall direct thy path. Now, I'm going to direct my path.
Now, I want you to see some things here. It's interesting. We see here a pattern for the Christian life here. It starts in verse 3. It says here in verse 3, "And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles." Now cubits is a way of measurement, okay? 1,000 cubits would be about 500 yards, or a little bit more than a quarter of a mile. Now, what that is significant to us is because as we grow spiritually, there are places that God expects us to be. It is not His will that anybody be a baby Christian their whole life. He expects us to grow. And now that first expectation we see here, 1,000 cubits, we're talking about ankle deep water here in verse 3. He says the waters were to the ankles. Now, what does this mean? To the water to the ankles. Well, this is the beginning of the Christian life. This is you just walk through the door. Hey, you're not ready to swim yet. You're not ready to swim yet. You're still a baby Christian. There is a lack of spiritual understanding. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." You see, a newborn Christian should have a hunger. There should be a desire to learn the Word of God. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Ankle deep is the baby stages. Hey, I'm just stepping in. Hey, I got saved. But you know what's interesting about this stage? You're still in control. You're still in water up to your ankles, so you're still on your feet. You're still trying to control your life. You haven't learned yet to let go and let God lead you. There's a story about a man who went on a canoeing trip in a river for the very first time. And he's out on that river and he's trying to steer it, and he's trying to control everything. He's going against the current. He's going with the current. He's going against the wind. He's doing everything possible in his own strength. He's paddling hard, but the harder he worked, the more frustrated he became. And then his guide said, "Hey, stop fighting the current. Let the river take you." And whenever he did that, when he let go, he found peace. Christian, today, you're exhausted because you're trying to control your life. You're trying to fix everything and work everything out, and you're going against the current. You're going against God's will, and you're resisting the current. But God says, "Let me carry you. Let me carry you." You see, that's how the Christian life works. It only works when Christ lives through us. God's first measurement here was ankle deep water, a steady diet of the Word of God. Hey, not podcasts, not even other books, but just the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. Just get in the Word of God and be faithful to reading it and faithful to church. And we got to move on. Here we see here another 1,000 cubits in verse 4, and that's talking about knee deep. You see that in verse 4? Up to the knees. What does this mean? How about this? How about prayer life? How about our prayer life on our knees? You see, you've grown some. And now you're on your knees in prayer life, and we're beginning to understand some things of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You see, that lost person can't grasp the Bible. But now here you are, you're saved, you're growing in the Word of God, and you're understanding the things of God, and now you're knee-deep in God's Word, and you're understanding things, and you understand things like why a woman is to dress modestly, why a woman is not to dress like the lost world. You understand separation of the Christian. You understand holy living for the Lord, and you understand that being faithful to the house of God. Hey, why? Because I just want to please the Lord. Hey, I just want to please the Lord. I just want to please the Lord. And so you hear people say, "Well, I just don't understand the Bible." Where are they at? They're still at the beginning stage. We've got to move on. I see here another 1,000 cubits there. Again, in verse 4, he says, "Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins." Uh-oh. Now that's our strength. Right? Our midsection. We're growing. We're waist deep now.
We're set in our doctrine. The assurance of salvation has been settled. Tithing has been settled. Hey, we just give to God what is rightfully His anyways. But we're growing in the Lord. We're walking with the Lord. Our prayer life is growing with the Lord. But I want you to notice here about these loins. The loins here speak of the reproduction area. In Hebrews chapter 7, in verse number 10, the Bible says, "For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." It's talking about Levi here, Jacob's son. He was still in the loins of his father, meaning he wasn't even born yet. So we're talking about the reproduction area. So what does this mean? This means exactly this. This person we're talking about has become a soul winner. They're reproducing other Christians. He is a witness now to family. He is a witness to friends. He is a witness to those around him. And every week he and she comes out to soul winning on Saturday at 10 o'clock right here and goes out and tells others about Jesus Christ. Why? Just to please the Lord. We're just doing what He's commanded. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Hey, that's part of the assembly thing. It's just reasonable service. And moving on here, we see another 1,000 cubits in verse 5. And now it's over the head. Look there in verse number 5. He says, "Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over." You see the picture here? You're submerged. You're out of sight. It's no longer about you. It's no longer about your feelings. It's no longer about your thoughts. Myself is buried. I die daily. Right? In Luke chapter 14, in verse 26, Jesus says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." You see, the river of life is a reminder that God is the source of the abundant life. Water, the water is now supporting us. Jesus Christ is supporting us. He's everything in our life. He's everything to me. My feet are not on the ground. He is guiding me. He is directing me. This is where God wants all of us. This is God's will for all of us to be in the water over our head. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Moving on here, number 3, I want you to see, not only is the Christian life begins with Jesus Christ, we are to live our life in Jesus Christ alone. Number 3, we see here, the Christian life is going to require service. It requires service. There in verse number 6 of our text, so then he said unto me, "Son of man, hast thou seen this?" Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Hey, back to the starting point here. Back to the starting point here. We got to remember why we're doing this. Because we love Him. We're doing it all because we love Jesus Christ. He is our first love. When we get to thinking that what we're doing is not accomplishing much, and we begin to look within, and instead of looking at God's will, and we begin to think we're not making much of an impact here in what we're doing, we just need to return to the brink. We just need to return back to our first love. And you know what happens? Revival breaks out. In verse number 9, he says, "And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh." As that river flows, that river brings life. Everywhere the river went, everything the river touched, it brought life. That's how the Holy Spirit works in us. He works through us when we're yielded to Him. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're not going to just sit. You're going to serve.
Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In verse number 10, you say, oh, it's just too hard. The things are just too difficult. There's no sinner too hard. No sinner too hard. All I got to do is look at me. No sinner is too hard. All you probably need to do is look at you. We were all lost and dead in our sin. In verse number 10, he says, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eneglim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. So what are the nets? Different things there. They could be our talents. They could be our abilities. Or we could also look at it from a perspective of our responsibility. Our responsibility. Those two places there in Engedi and Eneglim, right? They're desert area. Desert area, Dead Sea area. Nothing is growing in those waters. But notice it says exceeding many fishes. Hey, revival's breaking out. Revival is breaking out. We've all gotten back to our first love. Revival is breaking out. The river is flowing. Everything it touches is becoming alive. That is what God wants to do in our homes. That is what God wants to do in our churches. That is what God wants to do in our city. He wants to use you and me and Gilead Baptist Church to go out as the river flows, and everything that we touch, everything He touches will bring life through us. He doesn't call us to be a spectator. He calls us to be servants, to be fishers of men. I'm reminded of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. You know, Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. Well, Jews didn't go to Samaria. They went the long way around. Jesus says, I got to go to Samaria. Why? Because there's a lady there. There's a woman there who needs to be saved. There's a woman at that well. She's going to be there at such and such a time. And I need to be there because she's going to believe on the living water. You know, and I'm reminded of that. She drinks of His water. And you know what she did? She ran back to the city and she says, come and see a man. She told all of the city, come, see a man. In verse 35 of John 4, it says, and many, you get that? And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman. Because she had enough unction to go and tell, come see a man. And the Bible goes on and says, and once they went and saw, many more believed on Jesus Christ. Hey, an entire city touched, saved. Why? Not through some preacher, but through a woman who just went and told. How much more of an encouragement should that be to us? Let me ask you this. How has your net been? Has it been dry? Are you fishing for men? Are you serving in the church? Or are you just watching from the shoreline? I got one more here. Not only is the life, a Christian life, about service, requiring service, but it's also going to require sacrifice. You're going to have to give up an hour of your Saturday morning. You're going to have to give up some time on Sunday. You're going to have to give up some time. Here in verse 11, he says, but the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. Why is that? Why are they not going to be healed? Because they were cut off. They stayed separate. That's the picture of that Christian that does not surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. They hold back bits and pieces of their life and bits and pieces of their heart. They're not fully in. They're holding back. You know, they're still on that ankle deep water. They're trying to control their life. They're still floating down the river trying to steer everything. They haven't learned to let God steer and control. We say we want a revival, as mentioned earlier, but God doesn't force that on us. He invites us to step into that river, but if we stay in that marsh, we're going to dry up. So you see, what areas of your life have you closed off? What areas of your life have you closed off? What areas do you not allow God to go to? But you see, only revival is going to come when it starts within. When we start tearing down those barriers and we just let God have control of everything. It's just reasonable service. Hey, present your bodies a living sacrifice. God doesn't want a dead sacrifice.
He wants your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable service to serve Him. It's just reasonable service to sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you, and it's not about me, and it's not about what we can get from God. It's not about being healthy, wealthy, and all of those things that those false teachers teach. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about a walk with Jesus Christ. It's about living for Him. Hey, why? Because He saved me. I don't ever have to go to hell. You understand that? If you've been born again, you don't ever have to spend one millisecond in the depths and the torments of hell. Amen. Praise the Lord. What can I do? What can I do? You remember a missionary named Adoniram Judson? He gave up many things, health and wealth and comforts, to reach the people of Burma. And you know what happened to him, if you heard the story? He had a hard time in Burma. His wife died. A child died, but he stayed faithful. Through the sacrifices, he stayed faithful, and that nation was changed with the gospel through his sacrifice. So let me ask you again, what are we holding back? What are you holding back? Your plans? Your comforts? Your time? What about your talents? God doesn't want the leftovers. He wants us to present our whole bodies to Him. Our whole bodies. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Now, Ezekiel's river, it went out and it got deeper and deeper, and it brought life everywhere it went. That's an example of that Spirit-filled Christian. James chapter 2 and verse 26 says, "Faith without works is dead." You understand that? We're not saved by works, but when we get saved, we are to work for the Lord. Let me ask you, hey, are you bringing anyone to life? Are you serving your church? Are you reaching the lost? If every believer served like you, what would the church look like? Remember, God didn't save us for us to sit. He saved us to serve. So maybe we need to just come to the altar today and place our bodies a living sacrifice on the altar here today and just say, "Hey, Lord, if you can use anything, I'm not much, but here I am. You can use me." Sounds like what I did. I'm not anything. I'm not much, but here I am. If you want to do something with me, you're going to have to do it. Because it's not me. So that's where it needs to start. We just need to come to the altar, give it to the Lord, present our bodies a living sacrifice. But hey, maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've never walked through that door of salvation. Well, today, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. You come forward, tell me you need to be saved, and we'll show you from the Bible how to be saved. But you say, "Hey, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Praise God, but how are you living for the Lord? Are you living for the Lord? Are you sacrificing? Are you serving the Lord? Are you doing what you can? Or is there anything else the Lord wants you to do? What else does the Lord have you to do? I surrender all, Lord. Here I am. I surrender all." Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you.